Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Terrell Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Another practice is in the books. We're going to bring you some of the things that we saw at Titans OTAs on Wednesday, May 31st. We're going to roll into next week, mandatory minicamp. We'll see what happens there. I think there's a lot going on, though, when you talk about the Titans news, obviously ties to DeAndre Hopkins. We'll get into that. Will Levis had a tough practice on Wednesday, but you know what? Nobody's perfect, and he has the right mindset. We'll get into that as well. But I guess what we'll do is we'll just kind of kick off a little bit from OTAs on Wednesday. And I tell you, one of the things that I saw right off the bat was the comfort level that Malik Willis has. You have him going through left to right, right to left, whichever, you know, going through his progressions. There were a few times he did that, and you know, he came back to the backside and he delivered a nice throw to one of the receivers. Saw him thread the needle to Treylon Burks. Now I'm talking about between three defenders. It was really good. And one of the throws he didn't make actually was something that stood out to me, where you had Monty Rice, who was out there now. You know, that's a good thing to see. But he kind of buzzed back into the passing lane and Willis pulled it down and went to his next progression. Those are the things that you want to see from a guy like Malik Willis, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But I wanted to kick it off with that. And as I mentioned, he threaded the needle to Treylon Burks, who's a guy that is ultra exciting when it comes to Titans fans and just the coaching staff, the fellow players. Like, everybody is pretty excited about what he's going to bring to the table. He's projected to be the lead receiver, and you know, I can't explain it the way Ryan Tannehill can. So let's listen to Tannehill on Treylon Burks.
Treylon's grown a lot. I'm really excited about what I've seen from him. He's flying around. He's moving fast. He's moving efficiently. He's coming out. He's working. He's in shape. All great things. Obviously, he's been able to catch the ball and get open his whole time here. But all the little things that go along with playing the position, being able to see the field, understand the full concept as opposed to just a route, you know, how he fits in the whole picture, all those things. And I think he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. So just want to keep him going, keep him growing. He's doing a lot of really, really good things right now. I'm really happy with his growth and want to keep pushing forward.
One of the things that stood out to me from that is he said the confidence, right? And that's obviously when you're doing something for the second time, it's different than the first. But it also goes back to what we talked about with the way he attacked this offseason and the work that he put in. One of the things that's always going to happen when you know that you put in work is you're going to be a confident player. And that's what you're seeing to him. Another point that Tannehill made was about the concepts, seeing everything. And that's a plus from the way Rob Moore has these receivers cross-trained. You're not just an X, a Z, a slot. You're all three. And that's what you've seen from Burks. That's what you've seen even from a guy like Westbrook Ekwonu. You know, you're seeing these guys, even Chris Moore, they're working all over the place. And when you do that, you understand the whole picture better. And that's something Rand Carthon touched on that. He said that that's one of the pluses that he got from playing alongside Peyton Manning was it forced you to look at the big picture and get a better understanding of everybody's role. Now, in Carthon's case, that helped him with the evaluation process. But in the case of Burks and these younger guys, receivers, period, it helps all of them to understand the big picture. So that's definitely something that, you know, is really good. And then another thing that we have to look at, right, you got a second-year player in Kyle Phillips who, you know, he said he wanted to put on some weight, an extra layer of armor, so to speak. Wasn't mandatory to do, but he wanted to do that to withstand the banging that comes with playing his position, right? You're a slot receiver. You're working the middle of the field so often, and you're getting hit. But Rob Moore, the receiver coach, he said he isn't opposed to that But there's one thing that has to remain the same, and that's this year.
To be out there as much.
I think for him, is as long as he can keep the, what makes him special, his short area quickness. He has really good route imagination, his ability to create separation. I think as long as those things don't get affected, I'm okay with it.
So as long as he could continue to get open the way that he has in the past, it's cool. And that's one of the things, right? You want to make sure you're putting on that good weight. You're stronger and faster. And I'm going to get into that with Kyle at some point, Kyle Phillips. I want to just pull him aside and talk to him about how he went about doing that and how much better he feels. So that's a topic for conversation. But we just went over two guys, right? Phillips and Burks. I think they're going to lead this receiver room. I think Burks leads the team in receiving yards and receiving yards. I think Phillips leads the team in receptions. In my opinion, Chigakonkwo is going to lead the team in touchdowns, receiving touchdowns. But overall, when you look at this receiver room, right, so many publications have listed them as the worst or one of the worst in the league. And I don't know, me personally, like, I know guys say that they – don't pay attention to that, but you're human. I'm sure that you see it. So obviously, you know, a guy like Chris Moore, who was the free agent addition to the group, I would take it personally. But when I asked him, he seems to be, you know, rather low key about it. Here's Chris Moore on the receiver room and the disrespect that they've been getting.
It's something that I think we're just going to see throughout camp. I'm impressed by them so far. They're all great ball players, and they're all willing to work very hard to continue to better their craft. So we'll see as the camp goes on.
There's a lot of talk about the group not being that good. You look in publications, and they say, you know, you guys are bottom five in the league. Is that something that you take personally?
I don't really listen to any of that because, to be honest, that's just people's opinions who aren't in this building and don't see exactly what goes on every day and don't know the full situation. So I just take it with a grain of salt. And all we can really do personally is just work every day and just try to win games, because that's all that really matters at the end of the day. If we're winning games, it doesn't matter what the numbers are.
This is true. If they're winning games, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. But that's the key part, if they're winning games. So you're going to have to win for that to flow under the radar. But it seems like Chris Moore is taking the wolves don't concern themselves with opinions of sheep approach. And I get that. But one of the ways that this wide receiver group could get a big time boost, and Mike Vrabel said it, right? He said that, you know, there's receivers, like, free agency is not over, right? And there's receivers, there's ways that they could improve the group if they wanted to do that. Well, DeAndre Hopkins is available. He was asked about it. Here's what he had to say.
I think our focus has always been about the players that we have here, and we'll keep you updated as, you know, we continue to add players to the roster.
A guy like that available, is that kind of what you were touching on when you had mentioned, you know, how there's another phase of free agency, how it's not finished?
All players come available at different times of the year, all the way up until the trade deadline. And then, you know, some of those veteran players that may be out there that signed throughout the offseason and training camp and even into the season. So player acquisition is always going to be something that you can try to add to your roster at different times.
So DeAndre Hopkins, let's get into it. He played in Tim Kelly's offense, and he was pretty productive in that offense. You look at that year, 2019, 104 receptions, 1,165 yards, 7 touchdowns. And I know. Deshaun Watson was his quarterback. I know this. But still, in that offense, he was a standout player, 100 receptions. We know that he's familiar with Tim Kelly. We know that he's familiar with Mike Vrabel from Vrabel's extensive time with the Texans. And he fits that mold of the type of player that I'm sure Vrabel and that coaching staff would like. It makes sense bringing him in. Now, the question is, okay, would he want to come here? And that's the big thing. We all know what was said, right? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts. Well, you know, you ask me what kind of car I want, I would say, well, you know, probably a Maserati. I love my Camaro, don't get me wrong. I would say probably, you know, Maserati, Aston Martin Vantage, I don't know, Lamborghini, Ferrari, maybe a Porsche 911, something like that, right? That doesn't mean I'm getting it. You know what I mean? So I get what he's saying, right? These are the quarterbacks he said he would prefer to play with, but those opportunities have to come. And that's not to say that they won't, because I would imagine the Chiefs, you know, I don't know about the Ravens, but the Chiefs, Bills, you know, Eagles, I don't know about them either, but I would imagine, you know, three of those teams, Chargers maybe, will be able to work something out. But at the same time, I think you have to look at opportunities. And, of course, with Derrick Henry in the backfield, you're not going to get 150 targets, right? But I think you could still get an opportunity to be effective with those targets that you get because of those one-on-one situations. That play action, you know, what the Titans like to do there with some of those route combos where, you got the post and the dig underneath it. There's opportunities to get open, you know. So you look at that, right? And then you look at, even though he's not a guy that many would perceive as a top 10 quarterback, Ryan Tannehill is still a solid passer. I think he's going to get the ball to you and give you opportunities as long as you're getting open. So those things make sense as a reason for Hopkins to come to the Titans. Is it the best option? Obviously not. Obviously not. But is it a good way for him? Because the other thing you have to look at, right? You're coming in, it's June now. You have a playbook that you have to gather, right? So if you are already familiar with that playbook and with the concepts in there, it makes it a lot easier for you to hit the ground running. And I believe that whatever deal Hopkins would do would be a one-year deal, which means that it's, okay, this is my opportunity to parlay into when I'm 31, now we could get this long-term deal. The easiest way to do that, in my opinion, is to kind of pick up where you left off in a scheme that you know. Now, looking at Spoltrak, which is interesting, the market value, calculated market value for Hopkins is 3 years, $69.6 million. That's an average of $23.2 million. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not happening. As much as I would love for him to make his money, that's not happening. So that's just to give you some perspective on where they believe it'll come in. But nevertheless, I think it's something that could be in play here. You know, he signed with Kelton Crenshaw of Clutch Sports Group. We'll see how that relationship blossoms into an opportunity for him to get a solid deal. And, hey, at the end of the day, may the best team win. DeAndre Hopkins is on the market, and there's going to be a desire for him. We're going to get into that a little bit more next as we talk to a former NFL receiver. You know who it is. Forever Titans receiver will run TMC. We will be right back after we pay these bills.
What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, Nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Strange. Oh, there it goes. To you live for your Seattle Supersonics. At power forward, number 31, Xavier McDaniels.
And now, starting safety for your 49ers, Merton Hanks.
Doing the duck walk.
Dude, that dude, hey, that dude's neck was long, man.
Yep. And he had no shoulder pads on. What?
Hey, could he wear a turtleneck?
Yeah, he always wore them. That's what he wore under his uniform. A turtleneck. Extra long neck.
Oh, my gosh. But that, hey, that dude was a player, man. That dude was a straight-up ball hawk. I'm telling you, hey, I love the way he played. He played with an attitude. He had that long neck, but that dude was a straight-up baller.
Mm-hmm. Getting those pick sixes. I remember the one he did it, and he was kind of like pointing at his wrist like it's about time. And then he just busted out into it. I was like, yo, his head's going to fall off, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So what's up, man? How you been doing, man? What's going on with you, man? What's going on with these things, man?
Hey, the latest talk. You know what it is.
Don't you start it.
It's always a conversation about the receivers. And now, I mean, always. Mike Vrabel said that, you know, free agency continues and some guys have come available, et cetera, et cetera. Well, a guy did come available, and his name is DeAndre Nuke Hopkins.
Hey, dog. That's all I got to say. He is a dog.
The addition, you know? What would that addition do?
Huge. Because now you have a veteran guy, but then you have also a receiver that can take a lot of pressure off of Burks to let him mature into a number one wide receiver. But here's the thing that I love about DeAndre Hopkins is we always talk about a receiver having that dog and that fight in him. Mm-hmm. You remember they were scrimmaging, I think it was the Washington Redskins at that time, and D'Angelo was like talking stuff to him. And he was like, he didn't back down. And then on the next play, they did 7-on-7. He did a chop comeback. He said, what I do? All I do is break ankles. Yeah. That's the tenacity that we need a receiver. I know we got Burks. I know we got Kyle Phillips. I know we got, you know, Chris Moore and all those guys. But now you have an established receiver with that dog and that fight. Did what? Number one, that Tannehill or Will Levis can trust.
Yeah. So when you look at how that would affect the rest of the receiver room, what are your thoughts on that? Mm-hmm.
I think it will make Treylon Burks better, you know, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you look at this receiving core, you know, the only person that has a possibility of getting double is Burks. So now you bring, you know, Hopkins in, you know the defensive coordinators, you know the defense is going to pay attention to Hopkins, then now you get one-on-one with Burks, and that allows Burks to go out there and make some plays. But then right now I'm not saying that Burks couldn't do it and defeat the double coverages, but let him grow and let him mature into that number one guy, and I think Hopkins would take a pressure off of Burks. I think it'll be a beautiful setup.
Is that as important to the guys in the locker room as it is on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important because now you have an established player. You got a guy that understands how to win, and also you have a guy that's going to be a possible Hall of Famer. So when he walks in, automatically he has that credibility of, you know what, I've made plays, I've been to the Pro Bowl, I'm an established receiver, and I can come in and not just be a part of this team, but be a big part of this team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think when you look at just showing these guys day in and day out, look, man, this is how you hold yourself. And especially for Burks, showing him, look, man, when you're the dog in the receiver room, this is how you conduct yourself.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you just hear what you said? You said he can sit there and watch. I mean, listen, DeAndre Hopkins is a receiver, but there's no diva in him. You know what I'm saying? That dude, he's a fighter. And here's what I love about him too, TD. Is he's vibing at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you remember what he did to us a couple of years ago at the line of scrimmage. Who did he make fall at the cornerback at that time?
I forget who it was. Dang, who was that?
Yeah. Oh, because he was with the Patriots.
Dang. I don't remember who it was, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but he beat him at the line of scrimmage, and he was so violent at the line of scrimmage, and he won, and he made a big play, and then he came back, you know, a couple of plays later and caught a tiptoe pass in the back of the end zone against the Titans. So, you know, I think it would be a great addition, not just for Burks, Malcolm Butler, because he beat him at the line of scrimmage, and he's just a winner, man. The reason why I say he's a winner is because he understands the position. He understands how to run routes. He understands how to do those things, and he understands that, hey, I can be that dog, and that's what Burks can learn from.
How do you go about adding him, though? Is that something you would do on a 2-year deal, a 1-year deal? What's best for the Titans?
I would give him a 1 year deal. And the reason why I would give him a 1 year deal is because I think, you know, later on in his career he struggled with injuries, and you don't want to have that same situation that happened with Julio. You know, the excitement, you know, the big play potential, but then you come in and then the third game he gets hurt, and then now you're back at square one. So I'll just give him a one year deal, and if he had like 75 catches, 1,300 yards, then I would sign him into a long term deal. So that's kind of how I would handle it. You know, because right now, you know, if you look at this wide receiver room, there's no veteran guys. I mean, we understand Burks is a second-year player. You got Kyle Phillips as a second-year player, and Chris Moore is there, but you don't have a veteran that's proven. And I think Hopkins could be that guy to come in and help the quarterback, but also help these other wide receivers.
So you mentioned Julio Jones. So you got that. You got Andre Johnson. You got Eric Molds. You got Robert Woods.
You got Randy Moss.
All examples of receivers with proven names. You bring them in, there's some excitement. Why would this be different? Hopkins coming, why would he be different from those other guys?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, because he still, when he's in the game, he still has the potential to make plays. I know last year he played in 9 games and he still had over 700 yards. I mean, it just shows you he still has that capability. And I understand that Julio Jones had that same capability, but he was consistently hurt. So I don't know if they're leery of that, of wanting to take a chance. But at the end of the day, this receiver room is bare, so they're going to have to figure out and maybe take a chance on a 1 year deal.
Does the PED suspension draw any concern?
No, because he's not a repeat offender. If this consistently happened, I'd be like, no, you don't take a chance. But at the end of the day, you just got to figure out a way to say, you know what, he made a mistake. He took some stuff that he shouldn't have taken, but now he learned from it. But now he can basically help this team. I wouldn't be leery of it, but I would sit him down like if I was Mike Vrabel or Rand Carthon or Rob Moore, sit him down and say, okay, this is our expectation of what we're doing. This is what we want to do. So you got to come in here and be a leader, and the leader is doing the right thing. He has to do that in that same situation.
But more from like the concern being, okay, he put up all these numbers.
Yeah.
Could that have been tied to it? How does he do after? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, up to Rand Carthon to say, you know what, do we want to take a chance on bringing him in? And I think that if you sign him to a long-term deal, you definitely don't want to do that. I think you give him this is my opinion, you correct me if I'm wrong, maybe like a $12 million deal for 1 year and say, okay, if you prove yourself to stay clean and stay healthy and you come in here and make plays for, you know, whatever quarterback that starts, then I will sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal because he's still capable of making those plays.
Yeah. So from his perspective, why would he want to come here? If you were him, why would you want to come here?
I mean, for the opportunity. I mean, the thing about it is he knows Mike Vrabel. Yep. Mike Vrabel knows him. And I think that's one of the connections that maybe may bring him here. But at the end of the day, you know, he's going to go to a team that's going to be a contender. And I'm not saying the Tennessee Titans are a contender or not, but you know, if no other team wants to sign him and the Tennessee Titans do, then, you know, what other options did you have? I mean, I know Buffalo, I think Buffalo's in the hunt to try to sign him. I think they said they heard some rumors like the Cleveland Browns or something like that. But at the end of the day, he's got to figure out a place to where it's a good fit for him and he's the number one guy. Because if you look at the Tennessee Titans, he can come in right away and be the number one guy.
Yeah, no, that's without a doubt. When you look at the Ravens, right, they signed Odell Beckham Jr. to a big deal. And it seemed like the money was the thing that drew him to the Ravens. Yeah. Do you think that's the same case for the Titans?
Yeah, but do the Titans have a lot of money, though? You know what I'm saying? Can they afford him to sign him to a long-term deal?
Well, better way to put it is, do you think that would have to be the case for him to go to the Titans, where the money has to be?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's gonna want to get paid. I mean, I know he got paid last year with the Arizona Cardinals, but I don't think he's going to come in here on a 1 year deal and he's getting a minimum. I mean, he's up there in years and he knows that this is his last rodeo and this is his last chance to try to make some money. And I'm not saying, you know, Hopkins is a guy that's just out there to get money, but at the end of the day, you still want to be compensated of the player that you are. So, you know, it all depends on what he wants to do. He's got to make a decision. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to sit with my wife. I'm going to sit with my kids and say, okay, what's the best plans for us? Do we want to make money, or do we want to go to a team that's a contender, or are we going to go to a team that wants to be with us? And they, as a family and as an agent, got to come up with a situation and say, this is the best plan for us, and that's what they're going to have to do.
There's no state taxes, obviously, here.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, a game, and actually this year there's two in Florida where you don't have state taxes, mm-hmm. and then you have Houston as well.
Yeah.
Does that really factor in? So like you got a total of 8 games, right?
Yeah.
Plus the three, so 11 games. So 11 out of 17 times you're not paying taxes on.
Yeah.
Is that something that players actually look at?
No, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was going through that situation when I got cut from the Tennessee Titans, I was looking for the best deal, the most money that a team was going to give me. I didn't even factor none of that. And I think a lot of times people make that a big deal or make it, you know, more than what it is. At the end of the day, if somebody's saying, okay, I'm going to give you a 4-year deal worth $110 million, do you think they're really going to be talking about state taxes? They're just going to, like, show me the money.
Yeah. let's say if it's two, okay, it's you got the Cleveland Browns saying, hey, 1 year, $10 million. You got the Titans saying 1 year, $10 million. Do you think it will come into play then?
Yes. Now, it would. Now, I agree with you on that. Now, if the Tennessee Titans did that and the Cleveland Browns did that, then you would, because the thing about it is, if it's a 1-year deal, you don't have to move wherever your hometown is. You come and get an apartment here, you know, do what you need to do, and then move back and not get taxed. So, you know, those are the things that you can look at, which is a great question that you asked, to where if the Titans did that, the Cleveland Browns did that, then I think that would be the weighing factor of getting Hopkins in. So I don't know. But, you know, we just got to see how this plays out. But I think that the Titans need to, you know, make sure that they make the decision fast to get in here so he can work with these quarterbacks.
Okay, so last thing. You're Rand Carthon. You're sitting in the office. Mm. You got your brand new Jordans on, a hoodie, and you know, team-issued sweats. Yeah. And you're just chilling, listening to Jay-Z. Yeah. I just painted the picture for you. And you're like, you know what? We're going to go get him.
Mm.
So you pick up the phone. You dial those 10 numbers. Sell the Titans to me. Hello? Yeah, this is D-Hop. This is Nuke. What's going on?
So I'm Rand Carthon, right?
Yep, I'm Nuke.
Hey, man. Hey, how you doing, man? Just call to see how you doing, man. I got a good proposition for you. Hey, I got a lot of young receivers. You can come in and be the number one wide receiver. Hey, check this out. If you want to come here, be under some great leadership, and I will give you a 1-year deal worth $18 million. Ooh. You're the number one guy, and it's guaranteed. That's what I want. Will you come?
You're doing right. I'm coming for $18 million. So that $18 million, is that something you – would that be incentive laden or how did
– No. What if he said guaranteed? All guaranteed.
That's a big chunk of money to guarantee.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So it's going to have to be, and I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but it's going to have to be something like that for Hopkins to get there. It's going to have to be, because if I'm a guy that's been established, I've made plays, I've been to the Pro Bowl numerous round of times, and I still have the ability to make plays, he's going to say, I need to get paid this because I'm worth that, because my numbers shows that I'm a big-time wide receiver.
Mm. That's a big – if he gets that,
I know.
Then those dudes at Clutch –
I know, that's crazy.
They did the thing. They did the thing. I was thinking more something, you know, with incentives up to 10 to 12.
Okay.
But, I guess we shall see. Oof. We shall see.
Well, let me ask you, what would you do if you're a Ron Carthon? You interview me. You talk to me, boss.
Hey, listen, man. I know you got something to prove, right?
You came back.
You had that suspension. You came back. You still showed that you could play. I believe that you could play. I'm not going to be able to offer you 150 targets, but I could offer you a good amount of targets. You've played in this offense. You know what Tim Kelly's play calling is like. Mm-hmm. You know Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've seen how we're established. We're just a couple years off of being the number one seed in the AFC. So, look, you know this division, the AFC South, it's winnable. And once you get to the dance, you already know what it is. It's fair game. So I'm going to tell you this, Nuke Hopkins. You have the opportunity to come here and be the number one receiver that you are this year. And we'll look at beyond, because just so you know, we have we're approaching $100 million in cap space next year. But I want you to come in now because I got this young guy by the name of Treylon Burks, and I think this is an opportunity for you to leave your legacy, continue your legacy, and you look at the way that the torch has been passed down to previous receivers. This is your opportunity to pass the torch to Treylon Burks, but also still play as the number one. We got Ryan Tannehill in the mix, and you've seen how Derrick Henry in the backfield can impact things. Man, play action to you, we can make it happen. So, look, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. Money is limited, but I want to make sure that you get compensated. So we're going to do a one-year deal with $8 million guaranteed, but let's look at some different ways we could put in some incentives to boost this thing to 12 to 13 million. What do you think?
Okay. You ever watched that show Different Strokes?
Sure have.
You remember when Gary Coleman's brother would say something crazy? He'd say, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Yeah. Well, guess what? I got a Willis that you could say that to, by the name of Malik.
What you talking about, Willis? That's what I would have said, man. What you talking about, Willis?
Hey,
no, I'm not taking that. No, he's not going to take that.
I bet you he gets a deal similar to that. $8 million guaranteed with incentives. I bet you that's what he gets. It's late. He needs an opportunity.
That's a good point.
And then on top of that, it's probably going to be a one-year deal. Teams aren't going to do, you know.
That's true.
I say that's what it's going to be. But we shall see. In the meantime, guess what I was doing? I was watching I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Right? And there was a part where the dude was driving and they pulled him over. It was a karate guy, Karate Joe. And they pulled him over and he said, "What's the problem, officer?" My daughter was like, "That's that guy you do the show with." I said, "No, that's not Chris Sanders. That's Karate Joe."
Man, get off my phone, man.
What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Chico Conquo, and I'm talking with TD.
That Wu-Tang, Raekwon, the Purple Tape. Rainy Days, that was always my joint, man. Wednesday was a bit of a rainy day, so to speak, for Will Levis. We'll get into that. But I want to start it off with Malik Willis. And I touched on it in the opener. He seems a lot more comfortable. You see him working through progressions. They went through a couple drills there where they had like some target practice they were going through. And I believe it's Quincy Avery's drill, the QB coach, who has worked with Malik Willis, has worked with Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Deshaun Watson. The list goes on and on. He's had a lot of guys that he's worked with. But the drill is you're doing kind of weaving through the bags, your footwork, and then you turn 180 and you have to throw it through one of the targets. And Willis, on the two reps that I videoed, he was 2 for 2, and he was the only one that was 2 for 2. You know, some of the other guys, Levis had missed the target totally, and Tannehill missed a couple himself. Look, I'm not out here trying to create any type of controversy. I'm just touching on what I saw there. But along those lines, right, the accuracy, you're seeing that from Willis. And there were a couple times where, you know, it was a little muddy in the pocket and he kind of sidearmed it to get the ball to one of the tight ends. I mentioned that the in-between three defenders fitting that to Treylon Burks. So you're starting to see Willis. This training camp, you know, in the preseason, it's going to be fun just watching that whole thing develop. And that's going to be a tough job for Charles London, for Tim Kelly, Pat O'Hara, the coaching staff, right? Because you have to bring in a rookie and bring him along in Will Levis, a guy who's probably the quarterback of the future. You got Malik Willis who's sitting there that, hey, he could end up being the backup quarterback. So now you got to make sure that you got him ready so that last year is not a repeat where you have a guy coming in and he's just clearly not ready to play. And then you got Ryan Tannehill, your veteran who, look, he has to lead the organization, the franchise. And through all this, it's a new scheme that they're all learning. So it's a tough balancing act. But here's Tim Kelly on Malik Willis, but also just figuring out how to balance those whole all three of them.
You know, with Malik, he's done a great job of doing everything that we've asked him. He's come in, he's put in the time, he's put in extra work, studying our offense, studying defensive football. Malik's done a great job of doing all that. And as far as changing, you know, how he plays, I don't know if that's a fair thing to say. He's got such a unique skill set, and you know, when he's out there and he's playing fast, you can really see those traits flourish. So we want to make sure that as we do with everybody, we want to continue to put our guys in positions and spots to where they can go out and they can execute and they can play to their strengths.
With that being said, knowing you want him to develop and you have a rookie now and Levis that you have to develop, how do you go about distributing the reps and getting Tannehill ready in your new offense as well?
Yeah, you know, that's a big part of our job, especially this time of year. So our guys, like, again, in the classroom, going through all the work up until this point have been good, learning, asking questions to one another, asking questions to Charles, to JL, to myself, whoever you know, can help them out with the answer. And as far as developing, you know, Malik, he's you know, yesterday came out here and did a good job executing on the opportunities that he got. And so each day we're going to look to do the same thing though.
So that's Tim Kelly on it. Let's get more perspective. I asked Charles London the same thing, and we know he's the pass game coordinator / quarterbacks coach, so he's going to have a big role in this. We saw what he did, you know, in working with Desmond Ridder, who established himself as a starter for the Falcons this year. Here's Charles London on the development.
Yeah, like I said, I know they're all kind of at different stages of their career, but you teach them all the same way, and you come out on the field and you coach them all the same way. You don't coach Ryan any differently than you coach Malik or you coach Will, and you see what they can handle, and you just keep trying to push the envelope with all three quarterbacks. And the system's new to Ryan as well, and he's done a great job of studying and coming in and being demanded of the guys. So they're all different points in their career, but they're all learning a new offense.
So I mentioned Will Levis, right, and how he missed the whole cage during the drill. It's nothing to be completely alarmed about. Things happen. You know, it's a drill. Not every drill is perfect. So I understand that. But Wednesday's practice was a bit of a tough day for him. You know, there was a time where he had a receiver open underneath. He forced it into triple coverage. And one of the guys, number 41, he's a new linebacker. I forget his name. He's 6'3", 214 pounds. I remember all of that except for his name. But nevertheless, he had an opportunity to pick it off. He didn't. But still, you know, that was an ill-advised throw, okay? And you had a guy open, and it happens, right? Sometimes you want to get it into a spot that you shouldn't. It happens. Then there was another one where – and Easton Freeze, I was standing with him and Robbie Bourne, we were watching, and Levis had a guy open. Mason Kinsey was actually open, but he overshot him slightly. Now, I was looking at Kinsey run the route. Easton was watching Levis, and he asked me if I saw his platform and how his footwork was, and he said it wasn't in line, and he kind of threw it off his back foot. That's an example, right, of how an accuracy issue can be fixed. Because the pocket wasn't bad. He was able to set and make the throw, right? So that's an example, right? You got to get that mechanic part of it. You got to get the technique down and make sure that you're able to get in position to make an accurate throw. And that one, Kinsey was wide open and he missed him. Now, there was also a botched snap. And, you know, sometimes things snowball, right? Get it out in one day. You know, sometimes that's how it works. But Levis managed to, you know, not overreact, and he was about to, but he caught himself and he calmed down. And that's an example, because you know, one of the things that people have said was, oh, he gets too amped up and too jacked up and emotional. Well, that was a good example of honing your emotions. So with all that being said, the accuracy, I mean, the guy back-to-back 66% passing. We know the 23 interceptions in 2 years. That's something that definitely needs to be examined, and that's what the Titans looked at. Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, they sat him down and gave, hey, look, man, what happened on this play? And sometimes things happen that shouldn't happen, and it's not necessarily the quarterback's fault. A lot of times it is, and that's what comes with the position. But nevertheless, when you look at that, that playing in a pro-style offense, it should help him, but there's still going to be development that has to go. And I actually wrote about this. You know, you can't beat yourself up, and that's what Levis refused to do. Here is Levis after practice on Wednesday, and I like how he kept things in perspective. Check it out right here.
Very. I mean, I think to have high standards is the name of the game. It's not to beat yourself up, but it's just to give yourself motivation to go out there and to perform to the best of your ability. And when you don't do that, it puts in the back of your mind, and hopefully next time a situation like that comes up, you're able to capitalize.
It seems like whenever it's time like to really let it rip, you can make all of those throws. But as far as the accuracy, like that's something that may be able to get better. What are some things that you've done to, you know, try to improve in that area?
I mean, just continue to work on it. I mean, this the pre-draft training that I did, I think, helped me a lot with that. I think my accuracy's improved a heck of a lot. Today had some inaccuracy on a couple of throws, but I mean, that's going to happen regardless of how good you are. Just trying to eliminate those, but it's part of our games that, you know, we're never going to perfect, that we can always just keep striving to get better at. But yeah, I mean, the guys here have helped me a lot with it too, and it's not just a matter of my accuracy, but it's a matter of being a good teammate and being on the same page with all the receivers. So getting that chemistry down with everybody, knowing that they're going to be in the spots that we're expecting them to be, and just keep working on that.
So the thing is, right, and he mentioned the pre-draft work. Well, first, let me say this. I like the fact that he said that, you know, he's not going to beat himself up. What didn't come up in that video or that clip was he said the good thing is you get an opportunity to come out tomorrow and the day after to get better and improve. That's a veteran mindset. So you like that. The accuracy issue, as I mentioned, it was a mechanics thing, right? He didn't have his base set and get into the throw the way you normally should. That's something that is the next step from the work he did to improve accuracy during the training. And that training was with Jordan Palmer, former Bengals quarterback, but a renowned QB coach as well. And the key thing is taking that training and making it consistent in practice. And you make that consistent in practice, guess what it does? It carries over to the game, right? And unfortunately, in certain circumstances, right now, you know, this OTA, this is the closest that he's going to get to live action, so to speak, right now. So what you saw on that play was reverting back to bad habits, which is something that a lot of times we do in adverse situations. So I think that's really what's behind it. The good thing is he said that he's going to work on that. And also, when you look at the chemistry, that's really important, the chemistry part of it. And that's something that he went to it before I could ask him the question, because that was the next thing I was going to ask him. How much does being on the same page and having that chemistry, knowing that a receiver is going to be where they need to be, and you just throw into that spot, how much does that come into it? And he actually got into that. So there's clearly an understanding there, but I don't think you should let one practice, good or bad, dictate what you think the guy is going to be. It's a process. But so far during that process, the Titans, especially the quarterbacks coach, Charles London, he seems to like where Levis is. Here's what he had to say before Wednesday's practice on Levis.
No, I think Will's done a good job of just coming in and keeping his mouth shut and going to work. And obviously he played in a pro-style offense in Kentucky, so he's been in the huddle, he's called plays, he's been under center, and I think that kind of helped him with his transition so far. But we just asked the same thing that we asked Will for the other quarterbacks, just come out every day and get better and try to improve on our mistakes from the day before.
How much is
that is such a common theme in talking to all three of those quarterbacks, man. Ryan Tannehill, when he first spoke to us before we got to see them out on the field, you know, that was what he said. He said that, you know, where I'm just looking to – he was asked about Levis and how that impacts. And, man, I'm just looking to go out and do my job, which is to get better every day. Malik Willis was asked about Levis. Hey, look, the competition doesn't change. I'm competing against myself to go out and be a better myself every day. Levis, he said that the great thing is you get to go back out there tomorrow and the day after to keep getting better. And you just heard Charles London. So I would imagine that getting better every day is a message that's preached throughout the quarterback room, because to a man, everybody is saying it, which is a positive thing. So look, this is going to be a long, long season. We hear that, you know, there's going to be joint practices with the Vikings. The Patriots one's coming here. That's in the work as well. But look, man, this is going to be a long, long mini camp, training camp, and there's going to be so much conjecture about this quarterback position. I just say buckle up, strap in, and enjoy the ride, because it's going to be a good one. And I think this competition is going to bring out the best in all three of those guys. I can't wait to see it carry out. You know, we'll continue to bring you the information and the feedback from practices, et cetera. So I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Shout out to Chris Sanders coming on, you know, talking a little DeAndre Hopkins on Run TMC. David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
This is what we do. But most importantly, shout out to each of you. Every week, you all tune in. You make sure you check us out. Hey, man, tell a friend. Search, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you. Talking with TD.